Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we're going to share our favorite songs about helping our neighbors in times of need. But first, Jim and I are going to play Rock Doctors to try and help a listener.
So our latest Rock Doctors patient is Hannah. We've got her on the phone now. Hello, Hannah. Welcome to Sound Opinions.
Hi, thank you.
All right, tell us your story. It's a really moving one.
Okay, so I'm a grad student at the University of Florida. And so up until March 2020, I was living in Gainesville, Florida, which is a pretty long drive from my hometown in Northwest Ohio. But when some of the COVID stuff started coming out, I got a call from home that my grandpa was in the hospital and was expected to be in the hospital for a couple days. And this is pretty problematic for my family because he was serving as the full-time caregiver for my grandma, who has Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because our professional caregivers were asked to, start social distancing after the pandemic broke out. We were trying to take it on as our family, but my parents both still worked full-time, and it just wasn't going to work. So the next day, I drove home, and I was still pretty new to the pandemic, so I was pretty scared of everything and only stopped twice on the 14-hour drive to get gas and tried not to touch anything. But
yeah,
I got home around 2 a.m., and my mom had been awake for like 36 hours with my grandma, who was just really agitated, and she would go to sleep for a few minutes, then get up and ask, "Where's my husband?" And we have to explain to her that he wasn't coming back that night, and she was just, just over and over again, not really knowing what was happening. And so, yeah, that was the beginning of my time as a caregiver. And I spent about 3 months living with my grandparents and doing full-time caregiving.
Wow. You know, the ramifications of this disease, Hannah, go on and on and on. There are many countless families, in this sort of a situation. And then on top of that, the heartbreak of this awful disease of Alzheimer's. Greg and I have both been touched by it in our families.
Mm. Yes, we have.
Yeah, and so I think you guys probably know, the effects that music can have on somebody with Alzheimer's. And that was my inspiration for writing in the Rock Doctors, is because music is really the only thing that we've found that can consistently calm my grandma down when she's feeling anxious and confused.
It's amazing. I saw that with my stepdad, who I always called my dad. He really raised me. He used to play acoustic guitar in church when we were growing up, and he was a high school teacher. He'd play it in class. And music, even as he faded further and further from the present and nothing seemed to touch him, music still did. The power of this art form, right, Craig?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. My mom had dementia, and, music would have the same impact on her. She sang. She had a beautiful voice, so she was a singer in a choir when she was younger, and she went right back to that spot whenever you'd play some music, and that was very comforting for her. So it sounds like you've got a similar kind of situation. What are you looking for musically, Hannah?
Preferably just not the same Judy Collins CD that I've literally been listening to for 3 months.
That's what's been working. Okay.
It works like a charm. It's the album Wildflowers from 1967. I mean, it makes her laugh, it makes her cry, and it gives me a chance to do my homework. but yeah, it would be awesome to have something that could kind of blend some of the interests that I have, like some of the alternative rock, top 40 country kind of sounds that I've been getting into, with some of the older music from the 60s that my grandma loves to listen to. Both of us are really struck by lyrics. I think any time that she hears something simple that she finds profound, she'll say the lyric again and repeat it over and over again. And it brings her a lot of joy, I think. And it's always surprising what she can pull out of songs that I wouldn't have even noticed.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, our nurse, in this case, Andrew Gill, one of our producers, sketched out your situation. It's so much more powerful hearing you tell us, Hannah. And thank you for sharing that, because there are no doubt many other people in this situation. I've been thinking about it, Greg. I know you have, Dr. Cott.
Well, I have to say, after that description, your grandmother sounds like a very astute listener, and I'm a little intimidated. She's
she could
be a great critic. So we better come up with the goods here, or we're going to hear about it. When I, you know, hear you talking about this and sort of drawing together the past with the current in terms of ability to bridge eras and generations in the way that she listens to music, one of the first records I hit on was Forever Turned Around by this Chicago band, Whitney. We've had the band on the show, but I think they do an excellent job of creating melodic yet complex pop songs, memorable pop songs, in a 3 or 4 minute space, and being really subtle about it, but at the same time with a really striking set of influences. There's a little bit of country soul in there, there's a little bit of pop, there's a little bit of soft rock, for lack of a better term. The singer has kind of a higher end voice, and you'd mentioned lyrics and choruses and refrains that sort of stick in your mind. They're really good at wordplay, talking about sort of a melancholy viewpoint of relationships that they've been in, and sort of pinpointing, you know, moments where relationships turn for the better or the worse. I feel like I'm holding on to a place in your heart that's long gone. You know, these kind of words that sort of stick with you and everybody can relate to, I think, from a standpoint of having been in a relationship where things aren't always going perfectly well. But the music is so beautiful, it makes the melancholy go down a lot easier. It's not a record that's going to be abrasive. It's not a record that's going to bowl you over, overwhelm you with volume or intensity, but it is incredibly beautiful, well-crafted. The songs are super memorable. And I thought, you know, it might work. So I'd love it if you could give them a shot.
Thank you. I will.
You know, Dr. Cott, I was really thrown because Hannah, like many Sound Opinions listeners, is a voracious music lover. You know, her favorites include everything from Maroon 5 and Train to Chance the Rapper and Frank Ocean. You know, so like, where do I start here? I went, Hannah, to something that I think stands as the album that evokes this horrible disease where you are present but not present, better than any other piece of music. Now, it might be an obvious prescription in that you may have heard this record, you may have heard it so much you're sick of it, because it fell in that category. But in 1999, Moby broke through out of the electronic underground with a record that I think is truly unique to this day in the way that it is very much of the moment, but with these haunting echoes of the past. Play. Play came out, and Moby went from a little-known electronic cult hero to multi-platinum in 20 countries with millions of copies sold, 8 singles that were hits from this record, and every single song appeared in numerous commercial and movie and television soundtracks. What's fascinating about Play is that, like his earlier ambient records, he made it, you know, pretty much in his bedroom. But the samples he turned to all came from Alan Lomax's fabled so-called field recordings of blues musicians captured on their back porches and in juke joints. And those samples where Moby is singing and Moby is creating an electronic merge of blues and gospel and hip-hop and disco and, of course, techno. And then we have these voices from the past of Bessie Jones or Boy Blue, Vera Hall or the Lanfordaires, right? Why does my heart? And these conversations are going on. When I would visit my stepdad every week in the memory care facility, you know, sometimes I wasn't even there to him. He was having a conversation with a student he'd had 30 years ago in the 7th or 8th grade. You know, we're both there, but not really there. And these conversations are happening across decades. And I just thought, Play, Moby, you know. So Moby, you know, Moby play got overplayed. Moby, like Chicago and Kanye West, has a tendency sometimes to say stupid things or do even things that are offensive. But I think the art is the art. And whatever you think of Moby, I don't know. Have you ever heard Play? It's a superstar hit.
No. I think I'm a little too young for it, to be honest.
This, yeah, 1999. You were nowhere near college. You're in college now. All right. So my recommendation is Moby's Play. Greg is going with the Chicago band Whitney. We're going to give you and your grandma a chance to live with these for a bit and come back and check in and see how they worked.
Thank you both so much. I'm very excited to try them.
Excellent. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
We'll hear how our prescriptions worked later in the show, but now it's time to share our favorite songs about helping.
You know, Greg, these are tough times, every way you cut it. I always think, it's a cliche, and we've heard it a million times in the media, I always think of Mr. Rogers. I was a devoted Mr. Rogers fan when I was a kid. You know, he always advised parents when disturbing things are in the news to look for the helpers. You know, and as someone who grew up in New Jersey and in New York, to see what the East Coast went through in the first really awful wave of COVID-19 deaths, applauding every night the essential workers and the healthcare professionals. And then now we are still in this and we're seeing it in the South and in the West. I think these people are heroic who are helping, risking their own health and safety to help other people. So we wanted to play some songs for them. And I got to say, you know, I don't think there's anybody in the history of popular music that had more songs about help than the Beatles, right? Mm-hmm. You got Help, you got If I Needed Someone, you got Any Time at All, Little Help from My Friends, right? I didn't want to go to the Beatles. There are also songs whose message about help is great, but the songs themselves really suck. I'm thinking of I Can Help by Billy Swan or The Hollies, He Ain't
Heavy.
Oh,
come on, I like that Billy Swan song.
You like
that's great.
Oh, man,
that's soulful. Oh, I love that song.
It's such an earworm. I Can Help. I don't know. All right. But I went to, for my first pick, a perhaps obvious choice, but an absolute timeless classic, the Jackson 5, I'll Be There. It's the first single from third album by the Jackson 5. It's written by some of those classic Motown hands, Berry Gordy, right? First and foremost on the list of credits. What is extraordinary about this song is not only its success, sold 4.5 million copies in the U.S., you know, 6.5 million worldwide, replaced Marvin Gaye's I Heard It Through the Grapevine as Motown's biggest single at that point. It is the empathy that 12-year-old, barely 12-year-old Michael Jackson manages to project, the wisdom and the empathy at this young, young age. You know, it has become so popular that we hear it, you know, all the time. But do we really think about it? You know, you and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. Where there is love, I'll be there. I'll have faith in all you do. Just call my name and I'll be there. You know, I mean, Michael looks at that point as if he would need help tying his shoes still. And yet this young voice, so wise and deep beyond his age, is offering the kind of help that it takes a lifetime to learn to provide to others. Jackson 5, I'll Be There on Sound Opinions. You and I must make thank you.
is the Jackson 5 with I'll Be There, a classic Motown song about helping your neighbors. And this one's also in that same vein. Motown, a few years prior to the Jackson 5 hit the Four Tops with Reach Out, I'll Be There from 1966, to be distinguished from the Jackson 5's I'll Be There. So this one's perhaps better known as Reach Out with the I'll Be There in parentheses. It's been done both ways. The point being, it's a classic song about helping from the Four Tops. I think, you know, the word empathy is going to come up a lot today. Jim, you've already used it in regards to the Jackson 5 song. I think Levi Stubbs, to me, was the king of empathy of the Motown singers. On this song, it sounds like he's thrown this lifeline to a friend dying of neglect. I mean, the person he's singing to, the lyrics are hinting that a suicide is imminent. All of your hope is gone. You know, Levi is singing to this person. The songwriters, by the way, Holland Dozier Holland, the great Motown songwriting team, they wrote a number of classic songs for the Four Tops and other Motown groups. But Stubbs's performance really pushes it to a new level. The orchestration is fantastic in the typical Motown way, that dramatic ebb and flow. The hook in this song, there's a point where everything drops out and all you hear is James Jamerson's driving bass line against that tambourine. You know, that's just you keep waiting for that moment in the song every time. And the way Stubbs lands on those lines, you know, the world has grown cold, drifting out on your own, and you need a hand to hold. You know, I mean, this man is like, there's a desperation there that's coming through. And the three remaining tops pushing him higher and higher with reach out throughout the song. He's extending a hand. He's extending this lifeline to somebody in deep trouble. And then finally, just before they hit the final refrain, Stubbs sings, "Just look over your shoulder. I'll be there." You know, it's like the last, "I'm never leaving you" in this moment of dire need. It's the Four Tops with Reach Out, I'll Be There on Sound Opinions.
An undeniable classic by Greg Kot, a helping song, Four Tops, Reach Out, I'll Be There. Do you have a favorite song about helping? Tell us about it. Call 888-859-1800 and leave a message with your pick and why. We'll be back with more helping songs in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and distributed nationally by PRX. Anytime I told